Many, many years ago, in the city of Philippi, in modern-day Greece, its ancient name is Macedonia, as we read in our texts. And we shall see, as we have read in our text, the founding of the church in Philippi through the miraculous conversion of the family of Lydia. God opened the heart of this woman and she became a Christian, and a witness was established for the first time in Europe. The gospel began right there in Jerusalem, and we see in the decades ensuing the gospel spreading with the missionary journeys of Paul. The gospel went into Asia, modern-day Turkey. And today we shall see how God is directing through the Spirit and through His gospel team for the gospel to enter into modern-day Europe. And how does God's servant know where to go? Where to find the lost sheep of God in the wilderness of this world? Well, I submit to you that it is by the guidance of the Holy Spirit through His Word. And the basic principle established here is that God provides guidance to His people as they yield themselves to His guidance. Guidance for decisions, matters relating to our possessions. You know, daily we make many decisions and we ask ourselves, which way to go? This way or that way? What do we do? So as children of God, God directs us by His Spirit that is within us, His will for us. And if you be willing to listen to the leading of God, well, you would find His guidance. Well, there are many matters in life that we seek God for guidance. Matter of our possessions, even our leisure, where to go for a holiday. Guidance for courtship, for marriage, guidance for our ambition, for wealth. God provides for us guidance through His Word. And that's what we are doing now, studying the Word of God in order to understand the mind of God, to see the hand of God's guidance in the life of God's people in the past. You see, we serve an invisible God. How do you know this is the will of God? How do you know that God is saying that we are to do this and not that? Well, God provides for us through the testimony and examples of men of God, through the Scriptures, to help us to understand the mind of God. The same God who guided our forefathers is the same God that will guide us to still waters and green pastures. God's guidance sometimes comes through the Lord's intervention in our life. And the Lord tells us this way and not that way. This is what we see, or what we will see in our story today. And we are reminded that we serve a living and true God who, though we cannot see Him, right, guides us and directs us. A good text to help us is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There are two commands here that the word trust, you see in verse 5, and the word acknowledge in verse 6. The word acknowledge comes from the root verb to know. Trust in the Lord, it means to seek, right? Seek the confidence of God's will for your life. And to acknowledge is to know. To know what is best for you. And so here, we are saying that in all your seeking, seek to know the wisdom of God for your life. Is this your testimony? Well, this is my testimony. A verse of scripture that tells me that I don't know how to lead my own life. By my own wisdom, I'm completely confounded and lost. And therefore, I'm directed to the Word of God to lead and guide me, to show me the better way. And you will find when you would trust in the Lord and you want to know His will, He would show you the way. God will tell you and there will be no doubt. Oftentimes we are too impatient. And before God would show us the way ahead, we would run ahead of Him. And therefore, we are to think and consider the next slide. And there are some general guidance, 7 of them, that is here, which I would like to share with you, glean from the scripture. When we are confronted with the many decisions in life, prayer, whenever you are confronted with any decisions in life, well, begin in prayer. Begin with prayer. Begin to seek God's mind concerning what He has for you. And as you look at it, you see, is there anything against the Word of God? Is it anything criminal? Is it anything wrong? Right? Oftentimes, when we think and consider, we'll be able to see, this is not the right thing to do. Then you know. And circumstantial leading, oftentimes, God would lead us by showing us through circumstances that this is the way to go. And oftentimes, when we would be willing to see, to be sensitive to God's leading, well, we'll find a way through the guidance of Scripture. God provides for us His will in His Word. And that's what we are doing today. Right? Studying the Word of God, understanding how God leads His people to win souls. In this particular example, where to go? They were on their second missionary journey. What to do? Mature men's counsel. We also seek the guidance, help of mature men. Someone you know who understands God's Word to pray for you and to give you a word of advice during those times. And you know, out of it all, do you feel a sense of peace? Do you feel a sense of unease when you would take that decision? And then, if you know the Word of God, or you know the will of God, that this is the way to go, then what should you do? Well, to obey His will, and to go ahead and do it. Next slide. A man of God, he explained it very well when he said, one may feel in his heart a check, a warning, a sense of unrest if a proposed course is displeasing to God. And as we rest upon God, the tender, earnest heart, he says, that has no will of its own except to find the Lord's will, can know the will of God and can have a sweet, clear leading of the Holy Spirit. And this is what we want to see here. The next slide. The two thoughts that we have for you from our text. Following God's plan and establishing God's purpose. Now, God has a will for your life. He has a plan to prosper you. And you want to know what He wants you to do. And so from our text here, we see that this mission team of Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and you would see now the writer of the Acts of the Apostle, Luke, coming to join the team. Right, we see here two thoughts. Following God's plan and establishing God's purpose. Now, these are the two thoughts that we want to think about. And we know that God guides His people. But how does God guide His people? As we study the book of Acts, you would find that God guides His people through the indwelling Spirit that comes alongside us when we become a child of God. We have been studying this book chapter by chapter. And you see how it was the Holy Spirit that led the church to begin sharing the Word of God. They were waiting upon God in prayer. And, you know, as God led them, you see in chapter 8 how God brought this man Philip. Right? The Holy Spirit said to him, go to the desert place. It was a hot, sunny noontime, right, to this chariot that was passing by with an Ethiopian eunuch on it, and how Philip obeyed the voice, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and he went and he shared the gospel to this man from Africa. And that was how the gospel went south from Jerusalem into Africa through this man, Philip. And we also saw in Acts chapter 10, how the Holy Spirit also led the man Cornelius the Apostle Peter, to go to the house of Cornelius to confirm his faith, how this man was saved. And you see the guidance of God in the lives of His apostles, and even our Lord Himself. Did He not say, I must needs go through Samaria? John chapter 4. Right? He ended up at the well in Samaria to speak to the woman at the well. And how that woman, someone whom the Jews would not have any contact, our Lord came and spoke to her and showed her the better way, and how she was saved. She was so happy. And so there is a plan in the life of God's people, and it behooves us to think and know what His plan is for us. The slide back. The earlier slide, yes. The first thought from verses 6 to 13. Following God's plan. You see here in verse 6, it says, now, when they were gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, right, the first slide, you see the map, the first slide. You see here in our map how they began, right, by going from Antioch, which is right on the right side here. You see the arrow, the orange arrow. Right, they went up across to Tarsus, and then all the way they traveled through Galatia, which is what you see in your text, and then to Phrygia. Phrygia is right in the middle between Galatia and Phrygia. And then they came to this region of Asia, right here, and they sought to go up north to Bithynia. And then the Lord stopped them. Our text in verse 6 tells us, verse 6 says, they gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, what happened? Well, they were hindered in a sense. They were disallowed. They were stopped. There was a block. There was a red light that God placed right in front of them. God gave them the thumbs down. No, this is not the way to go. God showed them through His Spirit what they ought to do. And here, this word forbidden is very interesting. This verb describes a one-time action. Right? And God impressed through the Holy Spirit on the mind of the mission team that they are not to go that way. And it's in the passive voice, meaning that, you know, God spoke to them clearly. And they understood that it was the will of God. The action, the passive voice means the action is acted upon the subject, which is the mission team. So when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to go up north. Sometimes God show us why, or God show us, tell us that we are not to do this. But He does not give to us the reason. A reason why we are to do this. The mission team did not know. They were forbidden to go up north, but they were asked to go west. And today, you would see how the Lord did, whatever that took place here is history for us. How the gospel went from Jerusalem all the way west to Europe, and then to America, and from there to Asia. Right? We receive the blessing of the gospel at this time and age. For us, we said, right, we can look back in our history to know how the gospel came to us only in the last 200 years. 200 years, not very long. Through missionaries sent from America, missionaries sent from England, the work began like this. It was the will of God that the gospel should move in that way. And so what did the mission team do? Well, verse 7 says, after they were come to Mysia, they assailed to go into Bithynia. They attempted, right? They tried to go that way, but they were not permitted. The next slide. And sometimes we may not have all the answers to God's guidance in our life. Right, you'll find that God guides us step by step. When the mission team went on that journey, and that's life, you see. That's a picture of life for us. Right? God guides us. And the Word of God tells us, right, oftentimes, you know, what we think may not be what God thinks. So God's plan may not be our plan. Isaiah 55 says in verse 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Have you had that kind of an experience? Just a simple example. You may be praying for a school for your children. This place or that place, what to do, which to choose. Well, if you seek the Lord in prayer, earnestly as you seek His will, well, we believe that God will direct us. And when the choice is given to us, oftentimes we say, "Aiya, but is this the way?" Well, you have prayed through, you have sought the Lord, and, well, experience tells us that God knows best. And so when God shows us His will, the decision, right, through circumstances, not this but that, then we know that, yes, this is the Lord's way. And we may not see it right at that moment, why God directed us this way and not that way, this place and not that place, this school and not that school. But we see in hindsight, we will see in hindsight that God has a better way. So the psalmist says in Psalm 25 verse 10, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies." So if you know, if you seek to know the will of God, seek to follow the promises of God, the covenant of God, the way in which God would want you to go, right, you will receive His guidance, you will receive His mercy, you will receive the way in which He wants you to go. Psalm 40 verse 5 says, "Many, O Lord, my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and my thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned in order unto Thee. If it were declare and if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." And so we want to realize that God has a plan, has a good path for our lives, and He directs us to show us the better way. You see, this mission team wanted to save souls, right? God called Paul, God said that now your life, right, will be given unto the work of the gospel. And he submitted himself to the will of God. I remember he was blinded. A frightening experience, right? If you are blinded, you said that, you know, suddenly everything is switched off in your life. And God returned him his sight. He understood who this God is. And so, you see here, how when God would lead us, we are to seek His will. And sometimes, seeking the will of God, obeying the will of God, may mean suffering for us. Submission amidst agony. Submission amidst suffering. Sometimes God allows us to go through some kind of sickness in our lives. God allows us to go through a situation of a job loss. You realize that sometimes you cannot understand. I have someone who texted me yesterday and said that, you know, I suffered a lot through life. And, you know, I'm angry. I'm angry with the Lord. And he says, "Why does God allow me to suffer?" And my reply to him was that he wants to draw you closer to him. And lo and behold, I received a reply. He says, "Amen." He saw, right, that life in the hands of God, in the will of God, is the best. We are into Passion Week, and I've placed these two thoughts, right, from the sermon that we had when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? He was praying, praying to the Father, right, to ask the Father to give him that strength, because he would be going from Gethsemane to the cross at Calvary. He knew that he would be embarking on the most difficult journey. The sins of the world would be upon him. He had to carry the cross, and he had to bear the burden of the cross. And how he agonized in prayer. How he sought to know the will of the Father. And he knew that this is the will of the Father. And he says, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." Matthew 26:39. Right, we went through this the beginning of 2016, January 2016. And what was Jesus' response to the Father's will? Well, the book of Hebrews says, "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." Next slide. Next. And so what was the cup that Jesus was asked to bear? And you would see that sometimes God directs us into a fiery furnace, like the friends of Daniel. Frightening, isn't it? Well, Jesus was to bear God's judgment and wrath against sin. And Jesus, in his humanity, his human frailties, physical weaknesses, though he is the sinless Son of God, we said that he suffered hunger, suffered thirst, suffered weariness, suffered toil, suffered sorrow, suffered grief, suffered shock, suffered fear, pain, wound. In his humanity, like us, but without sin. And how he knew the will of the Father, that he is to go that way. And what was his response? Well, you remember this sermon in January of 2016. Well, he submitted to the will of God. He was willing to do the Father's will. That's why we have a Good Friday. Because Jesus was willing to submit to the will of the Father to go to the cross. He did not complain, murmur, or question the loving kindness of his Father. When he said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death," he said to his disciples, "Watch with me." Next. How he was willing to submit to the will of the Father. And we said that in life, God can direct us in a certain way, this way to go. And we see that, you know, it may be fraught with difficulties, right? Job lost most of his things, lost his children, and lost his wealth, lost his servants. His wife said to him, "Curse God and die." What did he do? Well, he humbled himself to submit himself to the will of God. Next. True test often comes through suffering. And, you know, in our devotions, we have been studying and going through 1 Corinthians chapter 10. How Paul gave the example of the children of Israel, the church in the Corinthian church, right, to encourage them to follow the will of God, to obey the will of God. And he gave the examples of how the Israelites in the wilderness murmured against God's will. God said, go into the promised land. They said, no, there are giants there, don't want to go. And what happened? God consigned them to 40 years in the wilderness. And they perished there. Next. And so we see how the mission team were so attuned to know the will of God. And you would see that from this mission trip, as they go into Europe, right, they would face imprisonment, they would face whipping, they would face great trials. Had they known that this is going to be the situation, they would be very frightened. But God guide them step by step. Even during those times when they would have to be whipped, when they would have to be imprisoned, we would have to suffer sickness, God will be with us to help us. And so you see here the mission team was waiting upon God. And God showed them, verse 8, instead of going north to Bithynia, they went west to Mysia and down to Troas. Troas is just at the edge of a seaport. All right, the Lord wants us to see, to know, that what they did was that they traveled. They traveled according to God's will, in a certain direction, as you will see, you saw earlier in the arrow. They went all the way, to this seaport in Troas, and they would have to cross all the way into Europe. Okay? And what did they do? Well, as the Lord sent them to Troas, verse 9 says, a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. Now, isn't this a very clear revelation of God's will? Very clear, right? And who received that revelation? Paul. Paul heard and saw. He was the leader. And God showed him. And the Lord wants us to see and understand also, that if you would be willing to pray and seek the will of God, you'll find that God would show you. Right? God may not give you a vision, as He did for Paul here. But God would direct you, as we said earlier, we showed you the various aspects, the various ways in which God reveals His will. You would see that God does so in various ways. It could be through the counsel of a spiritual man who comes to you and said, this is the way to go. And you prayed and you said, yes, I have peace. God, this is what I believe. God is directing me. Right? But in this case, God directs them directly. Show them a vision. The man said, come. Anything more, it is so clear, right? Yeah, and that was how God guides His people. And we too in our lives, see, God would show you how, where He would want you to serve, what He would want you to do. And what did they do when they understood the will of God? Right, the word in verse 10 says, immediately, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Right? They responded with immediate obedience to the will of God. God said, do this, go this way. And that was what they did. They went that way. Right? The Lord showed them. Right? And our text tells us, how they were assured in their hearts, right, of God's guidance. God said, this is where you are to go. And the Lord make no mistake, right, to show to His servants the way. Right? So here the word there, they were assuredly gathering. Yeah? It is the phrase to cause to stand together, to cause us to know the will of God and to be instructed. That's also the meaning of the word to instruct. Right? So to stand with the Lord, to say, okay, this is where we would go. So they were assured and they went, right, that the Lord had called them to preach the gospel in Philippi, or in modern day Europe. Therefore, verse 11 says, losing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. Well, what did God lead them to do? Well, God led them to go all the way, right, to this place, which is modern-day Greece, right, and how God showed them, right, to evangelize in this colony. What is a colony? A colony is a place that is settled by Roman citizens from Italy. So the Roman citizens uproot themselves, and they came to that part of Greece, and they settled themselves there. And the Romans in the Roman Empire always had special honor in the Roman Empire. And so Paul himself is a Roman citizen, right? And it is an influential city, in other words. Okay, the people there had much influence in that area. And so God has a way to do His work. We don't know. We may not understand, but Paul understood, right, the will of God, and you know, you see how God leads him, right, now to evangelize in the continent of Europe. And how from that city of Philippi they would a church would be established. Next. So this is the map, huh? You see there how they did not go up, right? But they had to travel from Troas, which is here in Mysia, right at the edge of the seaport here. They went up, traveling up to Samothracia, and then to Neapolis, and then to Philippi. You see, Philippi is right there at the edge there. You see how God directs them. They had to go by sea, and they have to go by land, island hopping, before they reach that place. Next. So we have a chorus that we want to sing with you, which we sang last week. To know that, you know, God's will is best. And God guides us, and God shows us where we ought to go. Follow, and I will follow where He leads us. So we just remind ourselves again of the chorus. So you see how God directed them to this city of Philippi. Right? Many, many hundreds of miles. How would they know how to go? Well, you see that we have a God who guides us in a very direct way. You remember Abraham? How he had to travel 800-900 kilometers all the way to Canaan. Well, this is how God directs His people. And if you would be willing, right, to seek the Lord, you would find His guidance. And so, what was the purpose of God in bringing them to the city of Philippi? Well, God would show to them His purpose. Verses 13 to 15. On the Sabbath day, they went to the out of the city to this riverside. And they saw a group of Jewish women, right, praying by the riverside. Right, and how they went and they came and they spoke to them. Verse 14 tells us that there was one particular woman by the name Lydia. Came all the way from the city of Thyatira. Thyatira is in Asia Minor, right? Long way. It's one of the seven cities in the book of Revelation. Right? How she traveled all the way for business and settled herself there, and how God, she was worshipping God that day, and God's plan was to save this woman, Lydia. And how that one soul and that household that was saved began the in-route of the gospel into Europe. Ah, you see how God directs, and you see how God works in a very mysterious, marvelous way. What did our text tells us? Whose heart the Lord opened. God saved her. The Spirit of God worked a mighty work of change to convert this woman. Right? And how she attended, our text says, unto the things which were spoken of Paul. What did Paul tell Lydia? That Jesus Christ is the living and true God. They are Jewish brethren scattered abroad. And how, you know, they would go to the Sabbath, on the Sabbath day, right, to pray. And that's how we know that they are Jewish. Okay? They pray to God. They worship God. Right? And this has always been Paul's strategy, to go to those who have an idea of God, right? The Jews have an idea of God. They have the Old Testament scriptures. And so for them, you know, in a sense, we said they are a step nearer. Right? And that Messiah that, you know, they were looking for in the Old Testament scriptures is the Christ, Jesus Christ. This is the man. Ah, so that was what Paul did, to share with them. And so that's how the gospel worked. Spread into Europe, and her heart was open, she was baptized, and her household. So our text tells us that God's purpose was established. Right? She invited the team to stay there in her house, and that's how the gospel work began in Europe, by just one family. See how God works in a very marvelous, mysterious way to save. Well, this is what we want to see. That God has a plan for your life. And He has a purpose. And as you seek to do His will, to follow His guidance, you would find Him faithful to show you the way. And as you see from the experience of our mission team, God's will is so clear, without doubt, They knew this is the way to go. And what did they see? They saw the result. Right? The fruit of their labor. The Spirit of God establishing the church in Philippi. And the rest, we know, is history. So, God has a plan for your life. And He wants to establish His purpose for this world. And we are all a part of His purpose. May we know His plan and be willing to be a part of it. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for showing us Thy will. Showing us through the lives of the missioner, Paul, Silas and Timothy. Through His direct intervention, the way to go, to bear fruit. O Lord, may Thou be gracious to help us too, to know Thy will, to trust Thee with all our heart, and not lean upon our own understanding, but in all our ways to acknowledge Thee, that we may be directed to walk in Thy mercies and Thy truth. O God, may Thou be gracious to bless Thy people, that they may be willing to walk in the blessing of Thy will. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.